What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young, and as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in to a brand new episode. Today's interview, I have Daphne Russell, who I consider not only just an educator, but I would really say a revolutionist in this space, somebody who really inspires to improve the world of literacy and understanding. And it was a really profound interview to, one, just how significantly challenging the world of literacy is today. When I mean literacy, just reading and understanding stories, but also the power of it and how it can be used as a tool to inspire others when it's done properly. So I give so much credit and thanks to her for all the work that she's doing in this space, just as an educator, as a visionary to creating this difference. So her information will be in the episode description. Make sure to check it out. Thank you again, Daphne. Thank you again, Daphne, for a wonderful episode. And make sure you guys check it out. I appreciate you guys. Enjoy it. Until next time. Peace.
And get into it. Well, Daphne, thank you so much for joining for another episode. I'm super excited to continue the series where I'm just connecting with wonderful people all over the world and to capture their story, to humanize their experience. And so the question I asked everybody, I'm going to ask you, who are you to the world?
Ooh. That is really cool because I'm like really right in the middle of becoming.
Okay.
So I have learned the difference between a learner and a complier.
Okay.
And I can help easily create learners because it's just like a switch that goes on that someone goes from like not curiosity and then to become curious.
Yeah.
And so people can be at high levels of non-real learners and they're not really curious. They're just like obtain more information that they keep suppressed. And out of all the things I learned, I really learned how easy it is to create learners. And then once you create a learner, then all things are possible.
Yeah, no, the beauty of life is to be a student at everything. So no, that's definitely a good notion. So from a career aspect, to take it a step further, what do you do? What is your career? I think educator was one, if
it's
I'm not
so
mistaken.
So cute. Okay, that's funny because I'm literally becoming, so I'm going to tell you the whole thing. So
please do.
Okay, I do you mind if I just do like sum up? Okay. All right, I am from Tucson, Arizona, and I read, you know, books. And didn't really think much of what I was doing. I was just reading like I thought other people were reading. It was how you read is how you think actually other people read, which is kind of funny. But anyway, so I went to, I played softball here and I got really lucky and got recruited to go to FSU. So I'm Deion Sanders' age, which I love to say because Deion Sanders, everyone knows him now. And I'm like, he was always that uplifting. He went to volleyball games and softball games.
Wow.
Like Deion Sanders, he was at our games, like cheering on people. I sat next to him at a women's volleyball game and he was cheering on. I'm like, he's always been like, so I just like that. I like to just, because I know he's like always in the highlight. I'm like, he was like that. I mean, I don't know him, but I mean, as a person who was near the superstar, he was cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, Florida State, I learned that every single child deserved their own reading journey. So I'm like, well, that makes sense. So I'm on a reading journey. I'm going to have them have a reading journey like my reading journey, not knowing anything except my own self. So I went, came home and I'm like, okay, kids, we're all going to have a reading journey. And I'm like, oh, how do I do that? And so I had no idea. And there were, in 1989, the books did not exist that exist now. So I had clientele without the proper books. And then I had a lot of things that I didn't understand. So I basically tried to find the easiest path to literacy. And I believed all the things I was told because, you know, I went to school and learned all these things. And somewhere around 30 years later, 30 plus years later, I go, it's not true. And none of it's true. Like, you need to have... There are some things that, you know, as a kid, I could, if you're little, I could show you. And then if I do it right, you're going to go, ooh, curious. And then you're going to go, keep going. But let's say you are, and I hope that I don't say anything about your own personal literacy journey. It's kind of hard to talk to people because then I end up talking to people who are like, well, that's what happened to me. So But if a kid is, the teacher's like, hey, what's that? And they say, oh, it's a seven. And the teacher's like, are you kidding? We went over this. What happens to that shape in their head? And
Yeah, it's
seven, what
interesting.
happens to seven in their head? Like, and there's shame now attached to learning. So how much do I want to learn if I just got shamed? And that little simple thing is actually where the core of all this is. So people say, well, it's you need to use this literacy method, you need that method. What you really need to do is think a lot about the relationship you're creating between this thing that you have that you want to be inside this person. And if you slap it out of their hand or you shove it down their throat, it's not going to work out. So you have to present it in a way that creates a relationship that this person reaches for it. And so whatever you do, whatever thing you're teaching, whatever it is in the whole entire world, how do I give you the opportunity to even want to reach for it? Well, I give you some positive experiences, and then I show that you understand those positive experiences, and then I hold up a mirror and you're like, what? I did that? And I'm like, yes. And then you want to do it more. And that right there is the crux of what's going wrong is there's some, negative experiences being created and then piled on top of, and then the kids hate reading. Well, why wouldn't they? Why would they like it? Like it's a miracle if some kid likes reading. You're like, oh my God, what happened? Tell me more. Then they'll tell you a positive story that happened to them. And then, so what I've learned is I ask kids, I say books are, and like just finish a sentence, and I get flammable, glabrogast, boring, visions to see the outside world. Like all of these things are like these negative, very often, more often than not, they're negative and out that way. And so what I do is I teach this way. So all I call it is introspective literacy. And so the kid reads this way. So I don't do anything except hold up a mirror that happens to be a book with words that this kid thinks, believes they understand, in their range that they believe they are. And then I give it to them. So I mean, there's a little bit of a process. I say, books are, and then they say struggle bus, right? And I go, oh, tell me more about that. And then they tell you about how that definition came to be. Well, my second grade teacher, she was so mean. I think she hated me. Or I was in second grade and during COVID, or whatever. Whatever they say, if it says struggle bus, I just listen for when struggle bus happened. And then I go, oh my gosh, that must have been so hard. And yeah, actually. I go, I'm really sorry. And what's terrible is that teacher actually was trying the best they could, or your parent, or whatever was happening. Nobody was actually trying to harm you, but you got harmed. And I say, do you want to try it another way? And then they most always say, well, okay. And then I go, well, first of all, you have a supercomputer. And they're like, what? I go, everything's in your head. Every word you've ever seen, every lesson that's ever been taught to you, everything in the whole world is right actually here in your unconscious. And there's a veil between your conscious and your subconscious. And that veil is filled with shame. And we're just gonna, you are gonna just pick up the veil and then you're just gonna set it down and then try it this way and then see if those sides start communicating while you're reading and thinking about yourself. Okay. And that is basically the answer to literacy. I mean, I know I just told you the simplest thing in the whole entire world, and everyone can do it. That's why when you said, does anybody want to be on my podcast? I'm like, yes, I have something to say. I want to share that as far and wide as possible. I'm not trying to make a buck. I just want to say that's actually what's wrong. That's it. And then you provide good, solid books that the kid reaches for, then speaks to them, and then inside of them it goes. And then let me just, so the finale is when the kid is, they believe they can't, they believe they've got nothing. They have all of these beliefs, right? All stuck all over them. And then whoever provides the opportunity for the kid to start reading at their vocabulary range that they've decided, and then think about themselves, they start reading. And then I go, oh, What happened? Oh, what did it make you think of? And they're like, well, he had this sister. She's funny. My sister's funny. I'm like, yeah, that's reading. No, wait, what? Yeah, that you just did it. Wait, I
He's
did what?
red.
You just read.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, do it again. And then they do it again, and you're like, what'd you just think? And they're like, well, my mom's like that. Oh, okay. Your
Reading.
mom's like that. And then like, okay, that's it. And they're like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm like, why? And they're like, I was lied to. I'm like, I know, but it wasn't on purpose. So then the kid now is like, wait a second. They're all suspicious now. Like, wait a second. If I was lied to about reading, what else have I been lied about? Who else lied to me? And what'd they say? And what am I walking around with? What belief am I carrying if that one, which is this big, was a lie?
Yeah, I mean, so I take it your background's in education.
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't even answer your question. Yes.
I was like, she sounds like an educator. It sounds like, did you do elementary?
Did everything. That's the fun
Okay.
thing. I did them all. So that's why I have this, like, I figured this out because I was like, okay, wait, you guys are, there's something wrong. You keep telling me this kid can't read. I'm like, but I'm showing you they just read. So what are you saying? And then I realized they weren't. It was a belief. The kid was carrying a belief. So no matter what was inside, the kid's carrying around this belief and they're like, I can't, I can't. I'm like, but what if they were wrong? And they're like, well, okay. I mean, I just did a, I ended up in teaching high school right the second. I'm about to be done, but I, this semester, and this kid said, well, when you walked in, she's like, I hate this class. I hate high school English. I hate English. I have a terrible experience with it. I can't read. I struggle. And then I'm like, but what if that's not true? And she's like, so when you said that, I was like, huh, what if it isn't true? What if this person's not lying to me? What if this is the one that's not lying to me? So she said she was curious and she picked up this book. I gave her this book, Poet X, which is poetry. And it's amazing, I guess. I don't read the books. I deal in books, but I don't like to interfere with their thoughts. I'm not a superhero girl. I don't want to mess with my thinking. Like that's invasive to me. So
Sure.
I just try to stay in like the periphery. So anyways, I give her, but I know it does magic wonders in kids. So I gave her Poet X and then she read it. She went on another book, and the other day I said, hey, so what happened? And she goes, well, I heard you say all that. And she goes, I hated English. And so I thought, but what if you're right? So I was curious. So I opened up Poet X and then I started reading the way you said, thinking about myself. And then she goes, and then one day I go, oh my God, I understand. I understand the author. I understand the story. I understand the plot. And she goes, and then I sat my parents down and told them what happened.
Thank.
And then they both were like, wait, we have that. We have literacy trauma too. And I'm like, of course you do, because it's this infliction where people are led to believe something that's true that's not. And they don't have any evidence to prove it's not. So I'm just saying, give everyone the potential, the opportunity to prove that all of that stuff was a lie. And
Yeah.
when they find out they have a supercomputer, they're already pissed. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, it's all inside. You already have it. It's already there. Just lift the veil, drop the veil, and then it happens. So yeah, I taught for 30 years, and then I have a nonprofit called Books Save Lives, and I tried to get that going in my tiny town of, it's actually kind of weirdly small, Tucson. And I couldn't quite get people to hear what I'm saying. Because look what I'm saying. Like, I just want to give it away. It's not like I don't, I mean, I have a method. Sure, you can buy it, but I mean, I just want you to use it. Like, so
That's what's
it's hard for people to put their finger on what I was doing. And they're like, where's the data? I'm like, I don't know. How do you measure a child's life changing? Is there a check box for that? I'm sorry, where is that? I mean, they had one future planned out and they changed their mind. Where's the checkbox? So then I went back and taught during the COVID, and then I tried again, and then I and then just now and then I was trying again and I didn't right now, and now I'm under I'm in a mastermind with someone I just really admire and respect, and under her tutelage, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do whatever she says to get out that way. And so now I'm skipping all of education and going out to the world and trying to tell the world. So I did everything I could inside education. And I couldn't get the shift the needle. And so I'm just going to give it all away to the people.
Yeah, I mean, as an educator myself, I definitely understand the
So it's a slippery slope when you're trying to present information within a system structure that, kindly put it, isn't always accepting to innovation. Because data will be the driving force behind it. You got to have data to kind of, I guess, cement your reasoning for this. So, like, that is something I'm not surprised with. I mean, I also give you your kudos for staying in education that long. I don't teach. I'm a counselor. I taught for one year. Not even one year. It was like 6 months. It was my first job out of undergrad. I was a building sub. I was kindergarten through sixth grade, depending on the day. And then I did higher education. Then I worked at middle school. And now I'm in a high school. And so I knew for me teaching, as much as I enjoyed, I've always wanted to have the creative freedom to teach in a way that I feel like will make it fun for kids. 'Cause I just don't think in today's time, and it's not a knock on teachers, it's just the structure and how kids learn is a lot different. And like you mentioned, like some of the kids, like reading can be fun if you can find a way to reach the kid where they're at. Having a kid read the Iliad or something else like that, without great book, by the way, right? If you're a heavy reader, it gotta find you have to find a way to make it digestible for them to understand in today's time. And I also like the fact that how you are giving kids books to read and you haven't read them at all. So you're not even throwing in like your own personal bias and like why you think that book is good, which I think is also great. 'Cause sometimes they look for you for the answers where it's like, well, I haven't read the book. I just was told it was good. And I think maybe you'll enjoy it as well. So
So none of my kids read the same book. So every single, there's 53 kids and there's 53 books, basically. I mean, another kid might read a similar book or a same book. But I'm telling you, my most life-changing book, I even wrote a screenplay this semester because, and not a savior movie, but the books are mirrors. So like the tagline is, what if the most radical thing a teacher ever did was hold up a mirror? And the books are mirrors. So in your counseling job, you could do the same thing I'm saying. I mean, I have a whole method. It's free. Like you could give it to the kids and they'll go, wait, what? And so the most rad, I mean, telling you can watch a kid change your life because the most life-changing book is called Tyrell. Have you ever heard of it?
No, actually, no, what's it about?
So Tyrell, it has a kid with cornrows. All you see is the cornrows in the back of his head. And then the second book is called, write this down. You teach high school, period. This is the most life-changing book in the whole world, period. So the kids read it. It has, as one of my students said, because of course I did not read it, or either one of them. He said, I wouldn't let him read it for a long time because he was too immature. And I'm like, all right, fine, Angelo, you can read it. And I'm like, okay, Angelo, I'm trying to tell the whole world about this book. What do I say? And he goes, well, you could say that it does have sex and drugs in it, but it's not to pander to the masses. What the child learns from reading this book is that he can accept his parents for who they are, but he doesn't have to be like them. So right now I'm using the same book with a couple kids, right? And I wrote the screenplay. Like I finished the screenplay while I'm watching the kids in the screenplay. And like it's this crazy, very meta thing. Anyway, so this kid, he told me like a million times, he's like, I ain't gonna read no thug book. I'm like, okay. I ain't gonna read no thug book. Okay. And then finally, when I had my back turned, he picked up the second one of Tyrell. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. And I'm telling you, everything about him is changing because he's watching a kid. So I just use this quote. Two quotes. So the one is the small minds talk about people. Average minds talk about events and great minds talk about ideas, right? So I taught that idea and I'm like, tell me with anything. It could be a TV show, you could use Shameless, I don't care. We're going to do an essay where you identify the people who talk about people, the people that talk about events, and the people that talk about ideas, and intertwine that with your book or Shameless or whatever, and let's see what happens. Well, sure enough, this kid is like recognizing that all of the kids that Tyrell hangs out with, all the people, he's at like 15, 16. All the people he hangs around with, the ones that talk about people are small-minded. All the ones that talk about events are average-minded. And Tyrell, the main character that this kid is reading about, has an idea that he wants to be able to make money, but not illegally the way his dad did with drugs and dangerous things. But he wants to be a DJ and he has this idea and he doesn't want to be like them. I'm like, I didn't even know what it was about. I mean, I just know it's about a kid and he struggles
Yeah.
and he has two girlfriends and one's lying to him and like just things like that. But all of the other stuff slips in and I just like, oh, what happened? Well, I see everything differently now. Oh, tell me more. What do you see differently? Everything. So in my imaginary, in my screenplay, he, the same kid is like, I don't want to read no thug book. Now he's reading the actual kid who I predicted all this about. Anyways, it's so funny. And so I have this, the quote, you know, we don't see the world as it is, we see it as we are.
Yeah.
So I have the, I'm teaching that concept. And while they expand who they are from reading, right? So they're seeing the world differently. This kid is seeing the world differently. And in the screenplay, I get him to like process this idea and go, oh, he's not the thug I was. Like, because that's what's happening to him. He's changing. He's like doing stuff at school that he couldn't have done a while ago. Like, it's amazing. Like, I can't let anybody know I did this podcast, but I'm not saying his name, but it's just,
Yeah,
but I mean, the thing is like, that's what happens. So when you allow for curiosity of what's going to happen to this kid, you just change your relationship with books. So now they're like, okay, books don't suck. Okay, now you're thinking about yourself. And so then they start becoming. And
yeah.
when they read about a person becoming, they become
It
with
become
them.
absolutely.
And then
Yeah.
now you have a completely different kid.
Yeah.
And like, well, is there a movie? No, but there's a second book. Oh, okay. What is that? Give me that to me. You know, like it's crazy. Yeah, so and as a counselor, you could do the same thing. You could say, hey, buddy, I keep seeing you. Do you want to change your relationship? I just met this crazy lady and she said these crazy things. And do you want to try this out? Because this is, I don't know. And then you just try this book. And then you just get them to start connecting. And then because if you have a relationship with them, you just dangle that relationship too. And then, I mean, I'm me. And I'm this old, and I just got there, and I've had this much success. Somebody who's actually at their school with built relationships, oh, it's like you'd have a gold mine behind you. Kids would be fighting.
I kind of feel like that now with some of my kids, whether they're mine or not, 'cause I really do take pride in building the relationships. 'Cause yeah, each student, each kid is different. Like I think that's where a lot of educators go wrong, is that they try to box a lot of kids in within the same spaces, because of ideologies or sometimes just their own unconscious bias. And so, I really like this method, because becoming, I know the term, I know the meaning, but I've never really seen it truly applied, in a classroom setting. So I am actually like really impressed to see that. So you definitely got something,
Thank you. It's taken a lot
going.
of practice, a
Yeah,
lot.
for sure. What would you say was the, I guess when did it like click for you, I guess, that it was working?
I was so I so I luckily I didn't go to my old school district where I was from because they would have been watching me, and these people didn't watch me, which is kind of funny, right? So, you know, and I just kept I'm about the truth. Like, it's harming the kids. Okay, no, it's pigeonholing the kids. No, it's putting them into a box. No, like I knew all these things were wrong, and I knew everyone deserved their own. I knew they all deserved their own relationship. Well, how do you get 120 strangers to find themselves on a bookshelf? Well, that's not easy. So I gave up, and I was like, I can't figure it out. I'm done. I don't know, because you can't do it whimsically. You can't do it like, it's not like Christmas presents. You're changing a relationship. You're giving them all poorly cooked spinach. Well, they're having a diet of terribly cooked spinach. And then you're like, try my spinach. No. Like, no. So it was really, really hard to figure out that. So I really did give up. And then around 2006 or something, a friend of mine, I was teaching a middle school, 8th grade, and a friend of mine sent me this book called The Book Thief. So I barely even decided to read it, but I was like, okay, because someone I knew had read it and they were crying and like, oh, you should read this book. I'm like, fine. So I get to the end, and the end, I'm just gonna tell everyone, they all die, except for this girl who's writing a book in the basement. And then I'm like, wait, did he write this book to say books save lives? Wait a second. And it was like The Sixth Sense. Did you see it? you know, and at the end, you're like, oh, he's dead. And then you're like, you backtrack in your head, like how, when you should have known he was dead. Same thing with Book Save Lives. I went, wait, how long has this been author been telling me Book Save Lives? Oh my God. He wrote a 554 page book to tell me and anyone who's listening, Book Save Lives. And I'm teaching 120 kids. Why am I not, I'm gonna cry just telling you. I'm like, why am I not doing that? What is wrong with me? And I was like, I'm wrong. And I just started crying. I cried for like hardcore half an hour, grieving the kids that I had let down. And I was actually the teacher you would have gotten along with. You would have said, hey, let's put her in Russell's room. You know, she's having a hard time with so and so. But I wasn't as good as I could be because I wasn't helping them as much as I could by just holding up mirrors, right? So I was doing it wrong. So then I cried and then I told a friend and then she's like, this is the book. And she's the one, you need Tyrell. And I'm like, okay. So I got Tyrell. I got every Sharon Draper that was written. I got this Bluford High series and I did whatever I could. Whoever was in front of me, wherever I was, I'm like, I'm just going to keep trying. And then many years later, somebody walked in with a friend of mine didn't know what I was doing, but knew my daughter. And so she like, we had a relationship. And so she was mentoring a teacher and the teacher comes in with her and there's a young teacher. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? Like nobody ever asked me. And I'm like, they're all on their own literacy journey. And she's like, how did you do that? I'm like, that's a really good question. And so then I had to answer that question. And then that took me a long time. And so I call it like, it's a customer service approach. And I call it visceral. So the children feel, right? And they you use the facilitator, you tap into that feeling. When they read that first sentence in their head, not out loud, no shaming, no shaming. And I give away the words, by the way. I don't go sound it out. Who sounded out a word and went, oh, I figured out what the word was? No, they just go, confer science. And then they keep reading. They don't know it says conversations or conversions. They just said it out loud and they keep going. So I'm like, I just give the words away. And then their supercomputer starts to kick in. And then they're like, wait, this all makes sense to me. And then they start reading faster. And then they start reading slower. So, and then they like are wrecked when they get done. They're like, what just happened to me? I had all of these beliefs that I couldn't read, that I was nothing, that I had nothing going for me, that nobody knew what I was talking about, that I had no one that could understand me and I didn't understand anyone else. And now they get to the end, they're like, what just happened? And they've never had, you know, that emotion, like with Tyrell, they never had that emotional relationship with another 15-year-old boy. Like, it is a life-changing book for a young man. He's like, I didn't know anything could be written this well that I would like. I mean, that woman, she, Co Booth must have, she worked, I know that she worked with kids similar to Tyrell. And then I think she packaged them together and saw their pain and then expressed their pain.
Or something.
Yeah.
I see
And
that.
she, you know, and she just did everything. So the kids are always like, is this based on a true story? I'm like, it's probably based on 100 true stories.
Stories,
But like, after I figured out the method, then I was just like this, like practically ninja in the room, like, oh, what do you need? And then I would just say, well, how do you feel now? Do you want something that's a similar kind of thing? Do you want something more complicated? What do you want? And they'd go, well, the same. I want to feel more comfortable. I'm like, okay, go. Here's a stack. And I would just, again, I just trusted them and I watched them and I would give a stack based on them and then what they read and gave back to me. And if it's stolen, oh, get more. Right? Not where's that book? Why didn't you bring it back? Like shame on top of shame. That's why they don't go to the library. Is they owe, you know, I mean, I'd have kids that owed $12 at the library. And then between that second grade year and their eighth grade year, they moved to three foster homes. No, they didn't pay the $12 fine. You know what I mean? Like, so there's so much to that. I just give it away like it is the greatest potential in the world. And they're all just a bunch of mirrors. I'm like, and then once they see who they are, then they're like, oh, well, let me see what else is here. What can I look out outside? But they gotta go inside first. So I just figured it out. And then I figured out how to talk slowly and to shut up. I mean, I know I'm talking to you, but basically, to
No,
shut,
I hear what you said.
with them, I just shut up. I just figured out, like, so, and then I don't ask funneling questions. I go, so what happened? And then they're like, well, the thing that I thought, and this was what the hate you give. This kid had read probably five books, however she read them. And then she read The Hate You Give. And so I'm reading, have you heard of that one?
Yeah, no, it's a classic. Yeah, I know
Yeah,
exactly.
okay. So I don't, again, I haven't read it. And then I say, well, this is like your fifth book. I don't even know what to say to you. Like, you're doing your thing, right? I don't want to interrupt you. Like, what happened? She goes, well, the thing I thought I hated is the thing that was missing from my life. I'm like, wait, the book you just read, which is like the sixth book you've read, you just realized is the thing in your life that's now missing is books. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, let me write that down. And then, so I just read down. And then I wrote a book. I did write a book about my experience. I had a kid sitting in front of me, and my wife was like, you need to write about the kids. And I'm like, no, thank you. She's like, no, you have to. And I'm like, no, thanks. And I'm like, she just kept saying it. And then finally, I'm like, okay, fine. So I wrote about the kids in my room who outread my kid next door, by the way. My own kid has her own literacy trauma because a mom, but these kids were just killing it. And this one, I just watched this one kid really closely. But he's the epitome of all of them. It happens to all of them. Every single kid changes their life right in front of you. You don't do anything except watch, and all the introspection happens on their own. And yeah, I basically just I started calling it introspective literacy, and then it's the visceral method. So I have videos, and it's all free. Like, you can share with everyone. I have a YouTube channel. I just like I'm just going to tell everyone because
Matters.
it ma yeah, and I can't, it, I, d you know, I could, sure, I'll go to a school and train everyone, but like, I'll train anybody at any time, but I just want to give it away, and hopefully it's generative and people go, wait, I just, wait, holy crap, this worked. Yes. And you just look at the kid and you can see their face. In fact, I had a kid trying to read this book, and then she's like, finished it. And I'm like, come on, dude, you know you didn't finish that. I'm like, look, it was done wrong to you, and I'm sorry, but I only have like 2 months left with you. Will you please try this? Boom, Tyrell. She's 18, she's a junior, and who knows if she'll even make it back for her senior year. And I'm like, please just try this. Her face literally changes because it made sense. And for her, she said, I go, okay, what happened? Because I know something happened because you can see it. And she goes, well, it's because the same thing that he was doing, he was talking about his other girlfriend. And she's like, the same thing happened to me. And she's like, dude, what are you doing? And so for her, it was her checking the Tyrell on cheating on his girlfriend was what made her, it's like an awakening. It's like a belief. Breaking, destroying. And she's like, wait, I just yelled at a character in a book. Boom.
Relatability.
Yeah. And asked him a question. It's, straight up like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And then keeps reading and can see more insight to why the guy did that to her in real life.
That's always the moment. If a book is relatable and it makes sense and it connects, then yeah, by any means, a kid is gonna. It's no different than a TV show. Like, it's just if there's a scene or a moment that sticks out to you, yeah, it's gonna change your input on things for sure.
And that feel, they get that feeling, and they're like, I'm like, please just finish, please just finish, right? Because I see the light go on, and I'm like, please just finish. And then they get to the end, and they can't, they're like, oh, I'm like, I know. And then like, I don't know what's gonna happen next. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the kid's gonna say. I still don't know what the thug kid's gonna say. He's like, but he's changing. His somebody in the class is like, are you even reading? He's like, are you kidding? And he's like, what's it even about? And he's like, well, and then he
Gives a whole thing.
like he was, yeah. And I'm like, God, I wish I could record that, But he's standing taller. You see them, literally their body language changes. And Abel, the book that I wrote the first time, his girlfriend would not read. He was in my class because they retained him, because the geniuses were like, well, he didn't do his work. Okay. Anyway. So I had him when he was already retained. So this is like factual thing. He's in my class, second time in 7th grade. His girlfriend's in my class in 8th grade. All of his friends are in 8th grade. And here's this like 5'10", seventh grader. And I'm like, here. And I just give him Tyrell. I'm like, I'm not gonna even mess with you. I don't even wanna, I have very little time to get you going here. And this is how we do it. You think about you. And then I watched him just grow and start caring about his grades and then asking about where his grades are. And then I see him ducking his girlfriend in the hallway. She wasn't reading, so she didn't know what was happening to him. And she wanted to keep him contained in her, small-minded way. And he's like, but I have ideas. So he had this like amazing literacy journey. And then at the end of school, I said, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm trying to get a job at the library. I'm like, shut up. I can't write a screenplay and then tell people that. They won't believe me, Abel. He's like, well, I am. And I'm like, okay, well, what else? I go, did you think about going to charter school and catching up with your friends? He's like, oh. He graduated with his actual class.
Wow.
He did whatever it took to get himself back to high school with his actual friends and graduated in COVID 2020.
Graduated from high school?
Graduated from high school 2020 during COVID. And all
Wow.
that happened was this literacy. I mean, you could document the literacy journey. So it's
Yeah.
just fun. That's what I do for a living.
And it sounds like such an amazing thing, and all the work that you're doing. It matters. It's everybody's approach is different, but the fact that you're using books for people who probably would never read, and giving them a sense of hope, that's something that is truly commendable. Final question I wanted to ask you, to ask all my guests, is what does it mean to me? What does it mean to be human to you?
It's interesting to ask. I could have had a different answer yesterday, but to me, it's to be your best self. You know that old Marianne Williamson, who are you? Oh my gosh, I could quote the whole thing. It's in Coach Carter. That quote, like, I think that it's my obligation to. That's why I joined this mastermind. Like, it's my obligation to be my best version of me, in my purest form, so that I radiate out the exact perfect transmission. So there's no, like, I'm not harming anyone. I'm here to heal. And I've healed me. So I don't help people heal themselves, but I can be a really good mirror to say, look, like, that's it. I'm just gonna stand there, like, I guess, like, to me, it's like just being a giant mirror. 'Cause you know the old idea that everyone's you, right? So if I'm just holding up a mirror, then I'm just like, I know that I'm just a mirror. Like, I'm just gonna, and I'm just looking for people, like, looking at them and looking at me. So I guess human is just being the best version of human I can be. And then because it's my obligation. And I use that quote all the time on the kids because I loved it so much. And now I'm like, I think I was living it on purpose with them and just trying to figure out what it was so I could help the largest number of kids. And I figured out the most peaceful, kind, compassionate, generative, free way for everyone to see themselves, and they deserve it. So I don't know if that answers your question. I'm really
No,
bad
it
at
does.
questions, apparently, but
No, you answer that as elegant and as honest as possible. Because I mean, to be a human to anybody, it's all different things. I mean, but it seems just based off of yours, just showing up every day, service of others, and in a way that is reaching them in places that most people probably could not do it. Which again is the true test and the true gifts to who you are and your ability to relate to others, regardless if you know them or not. And obviously working with kids is one of the most difficult things to do, especially adolescents, where the ego and all the traumas are really kind of coming at like the forefront. So you're kind of navigating a slippery slope. So no, you answered that just perfectly. And I appreciate you joining. This was
you.
very, very insightful. I'm inspired as a person. I'm inspired as a writer itself, just find ways to connect with kids. But obviously from a counseling standpoint, how do I connect with my kids a lot better? I think you've definitely helped me in that regard. So for those who can find you on social media, where can they find you?
So yeah, I have I call myself the education evolutionist, so that's my little kind of handle because I took everyone's information and I synthesized it, right? So it's all in here. Like I took everyone's potential. Like, this is how you help kids. I'm like, okay, that was bad. I'm leaving that one out. That one's good. And I just took them all. So I look at evolution of teaching as like, how do I help give the other person the opportunity to be their best self in sports and reading and literacy and as a human, as whatever they are. And so I think that's what I learned, is how to help somebody else hold up all the mirrors, you know. So education evolutionist. So I have a LinkedIn education evolutionist and my YouTube education evolutionist. And I found you on Threads because, and I love the way you're just like, hey, anybody want to be here? And I'm starting a podcast that I'm calling Define This, because I want to,
Yeah.
I want to, so I'm going to reach back out to you if you would like to be on, because I
Yeah,
want,
I'd love to.
I'm going to ask you, I'm like, define this. I'm going to give you one word and then you say is. So like, bread is, if you happen to be in love with bread and you
I
like
am.
giving.
Love
Oh,
bread.
interesting. So I will find the thing that's your thing, you know, counseling is, I mean, whatever. And then we just talk and you expand the definition.
Oh yeah, I love that. No, I think that's great. I mean, I've been doing podcasts and the content for probably a couple, not probably a couple years. And so I would say within the last 3 years, 4 years, I've done interviews. Like I've easily have done over 100, but I had different iterations of this. And so this new version, I was kind of at a point where I was kind of getting burnt out. I was just like talking, I was just doing a lot of self-talking about myself. And I was like, what was the most organic thing that I was doing? Interviews. But I want to do it in a way now where it is just complete strangers, and just really just find ways to connect with people in different places. Because again, everybody has compelling stories, and if I can take 45 minutes to an hour of my time to learn something that maybe I didn't know, that's my goal, is to learn continuously. But also, whoever may listen to it, they may feel compelled and want to learn from you as well. So I really just want to focus on making it a platform for other people as much as more than just myself.
Hey,
So
that's
that's
what I'm doing. Yeah, the define this. I'm like, oh, can I? Oh, okay. Also, booksavelives.com. That is my actual, I mean, I
okay.
still have that nonprofit, but I just decided I wanted to go to a bar or that kind of place and do my interviews out loud with people in Tucson. So
Yeah.
I just yesterday I found the bar and I found the guy just because I was like, hey. So he's like, well, I'll do it for free. I'm like, well, that's great, because I'm not asking for money. I'm just like, I just want to interview people and say, okay, bread is, water is, equity is, continue. Yeah. So the same kind of mission, you know, just helping.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, that's just the ultimate thing. I know a lot of people try to get on podcasts all the time, and people who got real successful platforms, they will like try to charge you and stuff like that. And that's not really where I'm at right now in my life. I think to me that takes away the notion of what conversations are supposed to be about. You shouldn't have to have a million followers for me to feel like that you're good enough to be on something. You never know. This could be the beginning of something. I would feel more fulfilled knowing like I was one of the people along your way, versus just focus on you at the top. So yeah, I let the conversations happen and just kind of go from there. Whatever happens, happens.
I'm telling you, like when I saw your thing on Threads, I'm like, oh, he thinks like me. Like, we just, how can we help people? I mean, 45 minutes of your time, you press a couple buttons and put it out in the world, and like, who knows?
It's not bad. But yeah, I appreciate you joining, and I also appreciate you not thinking I'm spam like other people who thought I was.
Oh, funny, really?
Yeah, some people was like, yeah, I saw this and I was interested, and you reached out, and I was like, oh, I thought he was just kidding. You know, some people do things for
I do.
engagement sometimes, but no, it's like I'm so serious. It's something that I enjoy doing. So I appreciate this. I appreciate you. And for those who will be listening, make sure to check out our stuff. It'll be in the episode description. As always, this is another episode of Knowing is Knowing. Until next time.